The title of today's lesson is Friendship and You. Friendship and You. Jeremy Taylor said, "By friendship, you mean the greatest love, the greatest usefulness, the most open communication, the noblest sufferings, the severest truth, the heartiest counsel, and the greatest union of minds of which brave men and women are capable." Friendship is very important in this world, and we're going to go over in our lesson different aspects of friendship that we have. First and foremost, we're going to see friendship with Jesus Christ. In John chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, "Greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." You're my friends if you do what I command you. With Jesus being authority, he had every right to tell people that he desired their obedience. 1 John 5:2, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and we obey his commandments." I enjoy sports. I like the Dallas Mavericks. It's been a little bit difficult the past few years, but I still like the Mavericks. Not that I've watched any basketball in 3 years, but I enjoy the Mavericks. Now, could I just put on a Dallas Mavericks jersey and run out on the court and ask Dirk to pass me the ball so I can shoot a J? No, that's not going to work. I'm not a member of the Dallas Mavericks. I am not under contract. It is obvious I do not look like a basketball player. Maybe if basketball had an offensive lineman, I'd be in. But there are many different things that it takes for somebody to be a member of the Dallas Mavericks, of which I am zero, if not more. I am definitely in no way a member of the Dallas Mavericks. If we're going to be friends with Jesus, we come to Jesus on His terms, much like those players go to owner Mark Cuban on his terms. We come to God doing as He would have us to do. Romans chapter 7 and verse 15, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do everything I hate." No one's perfect. No one's perfect. We are all going to fall short. We are all going to fall down. We're going to mess up, but the key is to get back up. We can still be Christians if we sin. But we need to continue to strive to be the best Christians that we can possibly be. So, are there things we're going to do that aren't appreciated, that God is not going to endorse? Absolutely. We can repent of those things and continue to be in a right walk with God. Is it a struggle to be a Christian? Can be. It is. Temptations are hurled at us daily. Persecution is being dealt to us. But the Christian life is the best life that you can live, and there is no better friend that we can have in Jesus. James chapter 4 and verse 8, we read, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." God is with us. Not in a miraculous sense, but God is with us in the sense of He desires to His most degree for us to be obedient to Him so that we can spend an eternity with Him forever. Heaven is our treasure, but we also are God's treasure. When we look in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." We're not required to climb a mountain and go and pick a golden flower and slay a purple dragon. We don't have to do that. Even though I might look pretty good in a suit of armor. Be twisted steel. But we consider drawing near to God. God wants us to be close to Him. And when we study God's Word, when we get to know God better, we are going to be closer to God. When we study the Word of God, we do come back changed. Or at least we should. The more we know God, the more that we see the love that God has had for us, those commandments aren't burdensome. Our God is a God that keeps His promises. Are we going to have a friendship with Him? There's also friendship with the world. James chapter 4 and verse 4, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Now, what does this mean? Let's break this down. Friendship with the world isn't living on the world, living in the world. If that were the case, all Christians would have to get in a rocket, and evangelism is going to be hard as we live on the moon. Friendship with the world is friendship with the flesh. Friendship with sinfulness. Not desiring to keep God's commandments, but instead looking to the world for our happiness, for our friendships, for our goals, and for our ambitions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." This morning for class, we gave tips on how to live a miserable life, and one of those tips for living a miserable life was run with fools. Hang around with fools. Listen to foolish advice. Go and do things that foolish people do. You will end up being miserable. When we decide that we want to be of the world, we're all commanded to be in the world because we're in the world. Doesn't mean we have to be of the world. We see that bad company corrupts good morals. An example we used in class is I had Sam get here on the second step, and I asked him to pull me up to the second step with him. If you weren't here for class, it was hilarious because he pulled to the point of a hernia. And he was not even able to get me to lift off my feet a little bit. I made him feel like he did some. You didn't. But with the slightest of ease, I was able... I don't want to flex too hard. Brand new suit. Don't want to stretch it out. But I could have... I pulled Sam down with ease because it's easier to pull someone down than it is to lift them up. When we spend our time with worldly people focused on worldly things, it's easy for our direction of thought to fall in with friendship with the world. Friendship with the world. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And that is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Are we supposed to love something that we have overcome? Are we supposed to love something that we were to put behind us when we were obedient to the gospel? Some people want to have both. They want to focus on the big fancy cars. They want to focus on the big fancy houses, and the different things that go along with focusing on the world, but also say they have their focus on God. You can't do it. It's impossible. That's not a challenge, me challenging someone to do it. You can't do it. The Bible says you can't do it. You're lukewarm if you do. We look in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. "Be not envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their hearts devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble." I remember being a kid. It wasn't that long ago. I wanted to hang out with famous people. I wanted to be like famous people. I wanted to do the things that they did. But I'm so glad I didn't. I'm so glad I chose this path that will lead to eternal life instead of a life that led to sins of the flesh and to be appeasing for now. We're going to be envious of someone, And that's bad terminology for the point I'm going to make. Let's look at guys like our elders. Those men love souls. Those men love God's Word. Our elders love the brethren here. And I've only been here a couple weeks. I know they love me. I know they love you. You want to seek someone to be like our elders. You want to be a better Bible student? I want to be like Chris. I want to be like someone that diligently studies their Bible. I've heard of people that walk up and say, I sure wish I had your Bible knowledge. I'll say, study your Bible. I didn't just wake up and go, oh, no Leviticus. That's great how this just happened. Let me tell you about the Levitical law. No, it took study. You want to know God's Word? Study God's Word. You want to know how to study God's Word? Chris and I can teach a hermeneutics class. That'd actually be kind of fun. I like hermeneutics. Don't be envious of the wrong type of people because their goals should not be our goals. When it comes to the world, we can't love something that is the incubator of our sin. Trademark copyright Chris Groda. That's one of his lines. I like that. We can't enjoy something that cultivates, that nurtures our sin to make it continue to grow. We need to have our minds set fully on being obedient and living this Christian life, or we become enemies of God. You know, when we hear about people who are battling addiction, they're battling it because they hate it. Those who struggle with alcoholism, those who struggle with drugs, they hate those things. They want to stop doing those things. And addiction pulls so hard on someone. We don't need to feed those addictions, one. But two, when it comes to getting out of sin, sin has to become something that we hate. Sin has to be something that turns our stomach. Something that disgusts us. That we fell short before God. Something that when we do repent, it's not someone going out and partying on a Friday night and going, all right, God, I sure am sorry. Where's the next party Friday night? Repentance, leaving that behind. Repentance is doing something different. We've got to learn to hate sin. We've got to learn to hate sin. If we don't want to be friends with the world, let me start that over. We want to be friends with Jesus. We got to hate sin. Here we go. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Our focus goes back to pleasing God. When we put our noses in our Bibles as we should, when we study the Word of God, that will be... It's easy when you read the Bible, you can have your focus brought back. Or at least you should. It's easy to love some things in the world. And they can take our focus away from God. I don't want to be friends with the world. I don't want to spend an eternity in hell. I want to be with our amazing God. And His commandments aren't burdensome. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. You want to be a better Bible student? You want to know more about the Bible? Hang out with people who are passionate about their studies. Hang around with people who are passionate about God and being obedient to Him. You want to hang out with people that make money? Follow around people that make money and see what they do and how they do it. If you want to be a better artist, what do? Learn from other artists. There's so many different things that you can do, but you want to be wise? Make your friends people that are wise. Go and walk with those people. So what is your role in friendship? You have an opportunity to choose if you're going to be friends with Jesus or if you're going to be friends with the world. That's the choice you make. But what type of friend are you to other people? We as Christians have a responsibility to be a bright, shining light to those who are around us. To make people desire, that's the type of life that a Christian can live. I want to be a part of that. When we look at our role in friendship to non-Christians, Proverbs 27 and verse 9, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from earnest counsel. Let's care about those who are around us. We live in an economy where people are losing their homes, they're losing their jobs, they're losing their health care, they're in fear of losing any of those things. We have people that are hurting, people that need hope. Let's be those people. Let's be the people that show that no matter what happens on this earth, we can find peace. We can show people a better way. When we look in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights of the world. It's easy to gripe, isn't it? Y'all, you bet it is. It is easy to gripe. It is easy to complain. Come from the Metroplex, where traffic is bad. You know, we get in the wrong mindset, and you try to go down, trying to know my streets now. Is this Jefferson? Go down Jefferson where Walmart is. Oh, come on. Hit every light red. Oh, what are they doing? Why do they have their blinker on? They're not even turning. Oh. This is awful. This is irritating. I just can't stand people. I just don't like people at all. You know, I'm just going to go live in the mountains. I don't know. But it's easy to grumble and dispute, isn't it? People in the world grumble and dispute. People in the world are complainers. People in the world do these different types of things, but we must be different. What the world views as mountains, we as Christians view as molehills, because heaven is going to be forever. If we're going to be a positive example to non-Christians, we have to see when something happens that we don't like, we've got to brush it off. There are things that are heavy, there are things that are hurtful. It's okay to mourn, but don't let that become your pattern of life. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I am with you always to the end of the age. Our role in friendship with non-Christians is to share with them the soul-saving gospel. Our role as Christians is to share the good news. I'm going to reference this next point a lot because I feel it's important. Lisa told me not to repeat myself so much, but I'm going to repeat this one. In the Church of Christ, we don't go for an emotion. That's not how the Bible is wired towards us. We don't do things so that we can get some warm and fuzzy feeling. Miraculously, that's not how the New Testament works. When we're obedient to the gospel, we can feel good because we know we have done what God has commanded us to do. Now, how did you feel when you obeyed the gospel? Only you're going to be able to answer that. How did you feel? I felt clean. I felt excited. There was a fire burning within me. I wanted everyone around me to know that I was a Christian. I wanted to share with them the news that had washed my sins away. I wanted to grab the world by the tail. I wanted to be that positive influence the Bible calls us to be. How did you feel? Do you feel the same way today? You know, it's easy to let that fire go out a little bit, isn't it? For being a Christian for a long time, for trials at home, for things that we endure just in this life, it's easy to let that flame go out. This morning, do whatever it takes to get that fire to burn bright again. There are precious souls that are in the balance. You may be the only Jesus that people see. You may be the only example of Christ in someone's life. It may take time. Slowly show them the good news if that be the case. Our role as friends to our community is to share the most important thing that there is to share with anyone, and that is the soul-saving gospel. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Our role as Christians is to be the best examples that we can possibly be. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, set the believers an example in your speech, conduct, love, faith, and in purity. Find someone you respect and do as they do, as long as they're in the Word of God. It's like I started off before. You want to be a good example? Be imitators of men like our elders. Guys like Chris. People who are diligent in their studies of God's Word. But we also have a role in our Christian walk when it comes to being a friend to fellow Christians. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We've got to look out for each other. While we will individually stand before God on the day of judgment, we can work together. We can be a team in helping each other to get back up. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to help him up. There were some commentators who quoted Homer's Iliad, which rendered by Lord Derby said, Nestor, that heart is mine, clear before us through the darkness, gleams and burns the guiding light, brother clasps the hand of brother, stepping fearless through the night, I dare alone enter the hostile camp so close at hand. You are one comrade given me. I should go with more of comfort, more of confidence, where two combine, one before other sees. The better course, and even though one alone, the readiness may discover, yet you be his judgment slower, his decision less. Clear before us through the darkness, gleams and burns the guiding light. Brother clasps the hand of brother, stepping fearless through the night. When we read about those cords that are wrapped together in the next verse that we see in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10. I guess this would be in verse 11. We see a cord of three is less likely to be broken. When we work together, when we care for each other, when we walk with one another, if I fall, you can lift me up. If you fall, I'll lift you up. But if we view it like threads, we can tear a thread. We put more threads together, more ropes together. More difficult to tear. Let's be like that here at North Jefferson. Let's be a family that bonds together so that when the world may try to persecute us, we're not going to be torn. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. We as Christians should desire to be pushed. Should desire to grow in our relationship with God. The stronger I am, and the stronger you are, the better off we truly are. Let's grow together. Let's work together. Let's love one another. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We as Christians, or those who claim to be spiritual, have a responsibility to look after each other. We have a responsibility to watch our brothers and sisters. We have a responsibility to help them if they are in sin. We also have a responsibility to help them when they are burdened down. The role of Christian in friendship isn't to be a spectator on the side. Our role is to be in the fight, working together diligently. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, "And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works." What have you done lately to motivate someone to do good for God? What have you done to stir someone up to obedience to the gospel, or stir someone up to do good things for the Lord? Now, I've got to put a focus there. Stir up one another to love and good works. Some people have stirring up down. Yeah. All kinds of fun quotes to go with that. We can't stir. If we're going to stir people up, let's do it for good. Let's do it for what God would have us to do. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20, "Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future." Experience isn't something you have until right after you need it. But if you're about to endure something, and someone comes up and says, "Hey, you know, when I was a kid, I messed up and I did something like this," it's better you not do that. And here's scriptures that show you why. If we're going to grow and gain wisdom, go, "If they messed up, I don't need to do that." I can use my little brother as an example. I was a rowdy kid, believe it or not. I got my fair share of friendly reminders to do what was right. If you get a chance, you can look at my dad's hand. It's just a little bit more flat because of all he had to do to keep me in line. My little brother, Toby's smart. And he'd watch. And he'd go, "Oh, so that's how JJ did it. And he got a spanking? I'm not going to do that." Either he learned how to not get caught, or he just saw that wasn't the right way to do things. Maybe I shouldn't sass Dad when I'm in arm's reach. Might not be good. You know, maybe I shouldn't sass Dad when I'm close. Maybe I should be respectful. He learned, if someone comes to us with something, let's listen to their advice so that we can gain wisdom. The conclusion of the lesson this morning: are you a friend to Jesus? Only you can answer that. Are you a friend to the world? Where is your focus today? And how is your friendship impacting those who are around you? You know, if you're not a Christian this morning, you're not a friend of Jesus. I don't say that to be mean. There's only way to salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "And if you haven't been obedient to the gospel, you do not have a relationship that is going to be eternal." If you've heard and believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're ready to repent of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, and being immersed into the watery grave of baptism, it is at that point that you walk in a newness of life, as Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 state. Nowhere in the New Testament do we see someone being saved before baptism, at least after Acts chapter 2, when the church is established. If you're not a Christian, I encourage you, I beg you, become a Christian before it's eternally too late. But if you are a Christian, and you know what, you hadn't been the friend you need to be to Jesus, you can fix that. You don't have to come forward to do that. But if you need prayers to get that relationship right, don't hesitate. There is no shame in getting right with God. I encourage you this morning, do whatever it takes to get right with God. Do whatever it takes. Eternity, Heaven is going to be worth the decisions that we make to be better with God. Get that fire. Be the best friend that you can be. If you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.